The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I guess we're already in a war zone. We were not going to speak of the shootings until later in the broadcast. Who's pounding on their microphone?
Me, I dropped it. It fell over. I'm a horrible guest.
Brian Henniger, ladies and gentlemen, can handle a chair like a, you know, like a prime fencing artist, but can't keep a microphone in his hands. Let's see. Also, we have our legal and finances guy, or at least I think he might have some finance information for me, Jason Block.
Yeah. Just actually kind of pray for the guys over who are in New Zealand and Japan right now, because Kim Jong-un just shot off some more missiles. For real. No joke.
Dang nabbit. Don't we have enough problems just, you know, with just a basic fire in Kuala Lumpur? And somebody who's unfortunately way too close to that festivities, Bad News Beeman.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about that, but okay.
Well, let's see. The missiles being fired at a Malaysian school. That was probably, you know, an electrical fire, although I wouldn't rule out foul play. Just, you know, typical day at the office.
Oh, God, last I heard, he was planning on attacking you guys in Japan. Like, how the fuck did New Zealand get brought into this?
Because they were
The closest out of the four of us. I'm sure if he gets bored, he might throw something your way.
I won't talk about it.
No.
Yeah.
It's a wrong show anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Nikki, you sort of, when you wanted to, you know, when we were going through our production meeting this week, you wanted to start off with something very interesting this week.
Well, mainly because I have a couple of the big, I have some BS big, I have a big BS big show person on the forum here.
Two of them, actually.
And both BS Big Show and NAWC have touched on the whole concussion issue from several different directions, from Benoit, from Mike Webster, to the movie, to the, you know, to the documentary, to the book, to the fact that some of these guys that were portrayed in the book and the movie are still players in this concussion nonsense. And that apparently raised some hairs on a certain lone wolf who shot his mouth off. We covered this last week. Baron Corbin got into a heated discussion with Dr. Maroon, who is rather popular in this whole concussion nonsense, and was part of the NFL's concussion board for a little while. Now he's over here advising WWE, hopefully with Christopher Nowinski's blessing, and just the fact that Baron has done something really dangerous to himself and his career, and has nothing to do with being in the ring. As previously mentioned, Baron comes from a football background, and he actually had some very brief NFL time. and he saw what was going on with the concussion stuff and added his name to the concussion lawsuit. Somehow this information did not make it to Vince or Hunter.
Yeah, and I have the quote, if I may.
Please.
And this is from Meltzer, Dave Meltzer, one of the from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know, as we said, that the latest newsletter, try this, okay? They recently found out that Corbin is now involved with the NFL concussion lawsuit. And the fact was that the WWE wasn't aware of it until this past month, which would either be either August or September or July, something to that effect. Okay. And now I have a question for you, Nikki. Who do you blame for Corbin not telling them? Shouldn't they investigated that? If he is, because he's been involved with the WWE for at least a few years, right?
It's not something that's going to come up in casual conversation, obviously.
Obviously.
But they've had many, many football players come into WWE, and the fact that Corbin had only had a cup of coffee with the NFL, it probably wasn't a concern. So Corbin, being the meathead he is, probably didn't mention it and wasn't going to mention it, especially, you know, until, you know, he was nose to nose with Maroon, because I'm betting this is the first time he's actually seen Maroon in person in any capacity.
Right. So by the way, here is Corbin's football background, just for if you're interested.
Live research, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. He was in Division II football, not even Division I college football. Okay. Mm-hmm. Northwest Missouri State.
The football championship series is what they call it, right?
Yes. He played offensive guard, and he was a starter in his junior year, 2017. Okay. He signed with the Indianapolis Colts on April 2009, and he went undrafted in the 2009 NFL draft. Okay. He was released by the Colts and then re-signed and then released again. Okay. He signed a
No wonder they call him the Lone Wolf.
Right. He signed a futures contract with the Arizona and then released by the Cardinals on September 3rd, signed to the practice squad on September 6th, and then released by the Cardinals. And so, yeah, he played football. My ass, he played football. He didn't play.
Brock Lesnar had a better NFL career than he did.
Yeah.
So
Hang on. Jared Hayne had a better NFL career than this bloke did. What the
But so
my guy from a player here that plays NRL, he had a stint in NFL with you guys.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So with that in mind, do you think the question would have even come up?
Probably not, I'm guessing. Okay.
It wouldn't have come up, but it's just a common sense conversation to have with your bosses, because you're in a friggin' lawsuit for concussion stuff with a different organization, and at any time, a lawyer could easily go, okay, well, let's look at your work history for concussions, and then they could send an injunction to bloody Vince or Hunter, and they'll be caught off guard and be like, what the fuck is this?
And Baron Corbin's reasoning would be, well, I don't work for the NFL anymore. I work for the WWE. It's a completely different company. It's an entertainment thing. It's not a sport.
Okay. Here is the way I see this, and in looking at it from somewhat of a legal background, okay?
Yeah.
If you are joining a class action lawsuit for the concussion of the NFL, right, why are you putting yourself in a situation where you could get and will get concussions? Look at how many people recently who were in concussion protocol. Randy Orton most recently, if I remember correctly. Dolph Ziggler multiple times.
Enzo.
Enzo. Well, Enzo got his bell rung last year with...
Simon Gotch.
Yeah, Simon Gotch. So, right now, first of all, Baron Corbin doesn't have a leg to stand on, number one. Mm. And number two, if I were Vince and Hunter right now, I'd suspend his ass until the trial is over. Or fire his ass. Right now. Because what? Okay, so you're suing the fucking NFL because you thought you got concussions? You know, well, pussy boy on the practice squad didn't even make the frickin' team. Two of them. Okay? you suck then and you suck now. And now you're doing this? The fuck?
I agree. It's baffling. But like I said, the circumstances, the fact that Corbin didn't officially play in the NFL.
Right.
And was signed by the WWE. They were probably aware of his football background. But again, the concussion lawsuit thing is not something that's just going to come up in an interview.
No, it's not.
So I really think that the whole, you know, didn't think it would, you know, the whole that it didn't come up is a pure accident. We're all human. But Corbin just pretty much cut himself off at the knees when he decided to get into it with Maroon. However, if this had blown up later, like you said, a lawyer could step over and say, hey, you know, you're so worried about concussions, why are you over here in your underwear pretending to beat up people?
I'm not in my underwear. I'm in my motorcycle uniform. Because I'm in a gang. I'm in the lone wolf. You know? I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're a lone wolf. That's
and you're a one-man gang. That makes a whole lot more sense now. Hi.
He's not Akeem the African Dream. What are you talking about?
Look, but he is a one-man gang because nobody's going to back him on this one. The minimum is that they've got to get Baron off TV. They have got to get him off TV and have a little get right with Jesus meeting with me. I don't know if they're just going to outright fire him.
They should.
They have grounds.
They have grounds. I don't know if they'll do it, but they have grounds. They have legal grounds now to fire him. I don't think they will, but they do have the legal grounds to do it.
Brian?
This for me is a strike three policy. He's already got two strikes against him. This NFL one should be the third strike. You're out.
That's actually pretty logical, which means the WWE isn't going to do it.
My belief is it'll probably be more like a come to Jesus meeting, as you said. But Baron Corbin seems to be just determined to completely deep six any push he potentially gets. Doesn't he?
I like the term deep six. That's one of his moves. Very good.
He better hurry up and have a come to Jesus moment, or otherwise his day, it's going to be end of days for him.
Oh, my goodness. I knew this was coming.
Ba-dum-bum.
So, yeah. Corbin is now caught in a conflict of interest, inadvertent or not. So, I think at that come to Jesus meeting, actually, let me ask a legal question, Jason.
Sure.
Can he withdraw from the lawsuit?
Of course he could. He could withdraw from the lawsuit anytime he wants to. Okay.
Then during that get right to Jesus meeting, I think they're going to say you're either going to take your name out of that hat or you're not going to have a job.
That's legal blackmail, but yeah. I don't think...
There's a corporate way to do it. I know there's a corporate way to do it, but I'm just saying, it's going to be pretty much put that way to him.
His name shouldn't even be in the hat anyways, because as everyone at this table has said, this dickhead didn't even get in the NFL. He played college football.
He went undrafted. He got signed a couple of times. He bounced around some practice squads, probably pissed a bunch of people off and got sent home.
Well, yeah, because according to what I was reading, he actually caused fights in the Arizona Cardinals training camp.
Okay. I think, you know, I think we have a tolerance limit of how of just how much bullshit you, how much shit you can stir. Baron, get your shit together, get out of the lawsuit, or go home.
Precisely.
Yep. And that, ladies and gentlemen, watch this, was kind of shooty, Nikki.
Kind of, but it's not on TV.
Oh, okay. So we can do that. It's all right.
Yeah, this if this starts up on TV, that's a can of worms that I don't think the Fed wants to open.
Yeah, but lots of cans got opened this week, and I agree with you. Okay, I had to duck and put on my Kevlar armor this week. I really did.
Right. So to get Brian and Shane up to speed. Now, I know you guys, I'm hoping that both of you guys watched Raw and SmackDown this week.
I've skimmed them. You guys understand. I don't get home till 1 a.m. and I work Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Essentially, what has happened this week, and I went over this in my blog on Angry Marks, is that we have no less but 4 shoot storylines going on right now. This is a little excessive and a little dangerous. Cena Roman. Cena decided to bring up Roman's wellness violation. Was that necessary? Dude, you're winning this mic fest 236-2.
He's running up the score like Georgia Tech ran up the score against Cumberland back in the day.
And I know 222-0. And we don't, you know, isn't it bad enough? You know, Cena, you're winning. You didn't have to bring that up at all.
And combine the fact that Roman actually gave 2 lines where he basically lied his ass off. That basically he said that Cena had, you know, less good matches than I did over the past 5 years. And that's a load of crap, too. Okay?
You might have had some good matches in the Shield, but I wouldn't put any of your one-on-one matches up against anything Cena's done.
Not over the last couple of years, because Cena's worked his ass off, because he's had to. But I'll be honest with that, too.
I think that was a line that was fed to him along with the whole revenue bullshit. And when if you got to use corporate in a mic fight, you lost.
And here's the crazy thing. When I saw that, I'm like, I felt sorry for Roman. I really did.
So did I.
I mean, because it's just like, okay, you know you lost when we know John's carrying the shovel. You don't have to take it from him. Seriously, sorry, Nikki, but
you don't have to hit yourself over the head with it.
Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I mean, this is like Wile E. Coyote meets the Roadrunner. It's like John Cena's the Roadrunner because he's way ahead of the race, and here's Roman Reigns, Wile E. Coyote, blowing himself up, going, "Oh, fuck it."
I mean, all I'm waiting for Roman to start playing those endearing young charms on the piano.
There. I mean, he got one good line in, and even then, a few people said he flubbed it, and I didn't think so. I liked how he delivered it.
Which was?
He made a comment about Cena's movie career, and Roman just kind of smirked and said, "I know a guy."
Oh, yeah, that's that was great. I like that. That was great. That was awesome.
And to that, I wish he had said, "And I know you only get voice work because nobody can see you."
That would have been great.
Because most of Cena's stuff, actually it's probably half and half, but his pistachios thing, Ferdinand, that's coming up here in a couple of months.
Another new animated series coming up, right?
Yeah, he's doing more voiceover work than acting. And a lot of his on-screen stuff outside of wrestling, he's just John Cena being John Cena.
I know a guy. That would have been great.
So can we just stop with the, you know, stop? He's already dead, John. why don't you face him on a more level playing field? Because I have a feeling that you guys could probably match in the weight room. And I want Roman to punch your lights out. I just want Roman to start swinging. He should have started swinging 3 weeks ago.
I just wish Roman got free reign and got to say what he actually would like to say. Like, here's John Cena giving him crap about failing drug tests. It's like, dude, I'm pretty sure you failed some drug tests, but they got swept under the carpet. Like, come on.
Or, you know...
Oh, he's
name. Finally, I'll take another one if you'll take one.
Yeah, or here's an even better one. Dude, I find it funny that you play a dad on TV, yet you don't have the balls to become a dad in real life.
Yeah, you know, you were complaining about Miz, and now they're expecting segue.
That is real, right, I believe?
That's legit. Maurice is pregnant.
Oh, good. I was hoping that this was legit news, because if it was like a bad Lita Kane storyline, I'm like, I'm out.
No. And as a matter of fact, I am going to find what he wrote on Instagram about this. Because
for all that, you know, from you guys know that I'm not a Miz fan. I am not a Miz fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm really respecting what he's done over the last year and a half. And I think it's pretty cool that he got to announce Maurice expecting on Raw.
To the point where he said, and I have the post that he wrote 2 days ago.
Please.
There are moments in life that I will never forget. My wife placing a pregnancy test in front of me saying, "Congrats, Daddy," will always be on top. So many emotions are running through me. Happiness, excited, afraid, nervous. But one thing is for sure, as with everything in my life, I will always give it my all. And I, my promise to my wife, at Maurice Mizanin, and to my unborn child, I will give you both all to be the best father I can be. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I will listen, learn, and love the best way I know how. Thank you to at WWE for allowing us to break the news on Raw. We wanted to announce to the world where we first met. Maurice, we've come a long way since the hashtag DivaSharps, and I'm excited for the next chapter in our lives. I love you. Hashtag it, baby, is coming 2018. So, yeah, very cool, you know?
So, and I'm glad that he was willing to give permission to let Enzo come out and ruin the moment. That's wrestling, baby.
Oh yeah, but then he got, even Miz got shooty shoot on Enzo. Like,
and
holy
that's,
crap!
This is one of the places where I liked it, where Miz blew up on Enzo, and pretty much said, you know, you're doing the same shit that I was doing 10, 12 years ago, but you're not learning from it.
It's like, dude, I fucked up royal, dude. I got thrown off by the bus by the Undertaker and JB fucking L.
Yeah. Okay. I had to dress in the hallway for a year.
I got kicked out of the locker room by Big Show and Hardcore Holly. They didn't want me in there.
So, but here's the issue I have. No, actually, before I get to the issue, Enzo came back with admittedly a good line. At least I don't have to steal from anybody. Everything I do is me. You've stolen from Daniel Bryan. You've stolen from Ric Flair. You're stealing from this. You're stealing from that. Enzo's right.
Yeah, so was John Cena when he brought it up. But
that's
anyways.
True. Yeah, but
So Enzo, your complete line there of saying, I don't steal from nobody. Dude, you just stole from Cena.
Shh. It's okay. Don't worry. It's borrowing, not theft. There's a difference.
So my problem,
sorry.
My problem is that the all the stuff that Miz brought up, that all of Enzo's issues backstage, how many casuals actually know about that? Did you listen to the reaction when Miz brought this up to Enzo? I didn't hear enough oohs and ahs when he said it.
Yeah. It's sort of a secondary story. They know Enzo's got heat, but they don't know why, I think.
No, right? I think casual still cheer the hell out of Enzo, and he's doing heel stuff. You know, Miz is right when he says you're nothing but a bundle of energy with a catchphrase. And a sing-along catchphrase, no less. But most casual fans, whether they have it, and most of them do have internet, do not spend time looking at wrestling news sites. So unless Enzo's stuff is leaking over to Pinterest or is actively being published on Facebook, which I don't think it is unless it's a wrestling news site, or it's come up on Enzo's Twitter feed or Instagram feed, or it's come out on another social media platform that I'm not paying attention to, which means if I ain't paying attention to it, I guarantee you no freaking casual is.
No, the only thing that's coming up on Twitter for Enzo is the fact that he got dumped by Liv Morgan and that she's more interested in Tyler Bate these days.
At least her taste is getting better.
So the bona fide stud got made a bona fide dud. How you doing?
So, yeah. I mean, this one is the most genuine of the shoots that are going on. The problem is the information isn't public enough for it to have the impact that it could have. Imagine if they broke this out in New York or Chicago.
Yeah. Exactly, because it was L.A., Anaheim. I got one even better for you, though. But I again, the comeback that caused the DQ was the best. Enzo's getting his ass kicked. And and he says, you shouldn't be saying, how you doing? What you should be saying is, who's your daddy? That got the crowd.
Well, that got the crowd. I mean, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is legitimately funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that Miz gets that chanted at him until the kid's born.
Mm-hmm. And they still won't chant. They'll still chant.
Oh, yes, you go.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I was just gonna say, I don't think Enzo found it very funny after he got his ass kicked by everybody in the Miztourage.
Maybe not, but you know what? You know, it's one of those that Enzo got carried to the back, and in his mind he's going, worth it.
Yup.
Worth it. So, you know, if you're going to do something like this, make sure people know what's going on. I mean, this reminded me, and as I said in my blog, I don't know if anybody here watched WCW in 2000 when the dumpster fire was just getting started.
Brian might have.
Okay. Do you remember when they decided to do a hard reset and made everybody relinquish their titles?
Yes. They called it the reset Nitro.
Okay. Do you remember some of the stuff that Bischoff said to Sid Vicious?
Yeah, he said, what's the matter, Sid? Can't find your scissors?
When I saw that live, I didn't know what the hell Bischoff was talking about, and neither did 85% of the building.
Yeah, because everybody thought, because it was Russo thinking everybody read all the different shoot rags that he read.
And today,
and more importantly, yeah, all they wanted to talk about was shoot stuff.
And today, you know, in some cases, that's going to work. This case, not so much.
No, because most fans, when they go to a wrestling show, they want to just they want to revel in the stories. They want to cheer the good guys and boo the bad guys. They don't want to get into all this worky, shooty stuff constantly.
And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen, because we saw all that on Raw. And then it was Tuesday. And the guns got fired up again. So let me, I am blanking here. Kevin Owens and the McMahons is one, and I really want to go over that one a lot. But the what was the other one?
Ziggler. And his...
Zig Ziggler? I thought he was dead.
No. Not
down.
No, it would be Dolph Ziggler. I mean the Ultimate Warrior. I mean Bailey. I mean, what's the fucking point?
Ziggler is once again screaming and crying that he is not, you know, he's not being acknowledged for his accomplishments in the ring. And while he does have an impressive resume, still has one of the biggest pops for the Money in the Bank cash-in outside of Rollins, and maybe RVD, bias.
I was there for that live. Sorry.
Yeah. Shut up. Mm-hmm. I was there for Rob's, and trust me, that was a pop too.
Okay.
but, you know, Ziggler's been a sole survivor. Ziggler's been a world champion. Ziggler has had, you know, several B-belt runs. Ziggler has done some of the stuff that he's bitching about now. He's had a woman on his arm twice. Vicky Guerrero counts. He's had a bodyguard. He had Big E. He's never had pyro in his intro. He didn't think he needed any. You know, he was the show-off. Now he's kind of turning into the anti-show-off. And thinking, well, you know, I do all this awesome stuff in the ring, and that doesn't seem to be getting me anywhere. Oh, yeah, I need to steal from other people. And he did another round of them, including a very well-timed Shane O'Mac appearance. I was only half paying attention. I thought it really was Shane. And he did Ultimate Warrior, which got Warrior's widow's panties in a knot. But
did it really?
She thought it was disrespectful.
Yeah, like, she put on Twitter. At heel Ziggler, if you disrespect my husband again, maybe this warrior girl will get in the ring.
Okay. Now, do you think that was legit, or do you think that was storyline? I'm just asking.
I don't know. I just don't want Dana Warrior to turn into a Martha Hart.
Right.
To be honest, Ziggler would still have to have cleared that with somebody to pull that off. And yeah, I'm sure she had to know about it before he did it. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. I was just going to say, anything that involves Ultimate Warrior has to go through Dana. So she would have obviously known.
Brian, I don't think you think no, right?
I don't think so. I think maybe it was more a case of, because, you know, if you're in the wrestling industry, you know, your business, you know how it is. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't a shot across the bow to the Ultimate Warrior. It was just him using that as an excuse to get over. And considering the kind of good terms that they're on nowadays, I don't think it was them trying to do anything to hurt, I don't think it was anything to hurt the Warrior's legacy. I don't think so.
No, it's just a matter of that, you know, Ziggler was doing it to prove his point, an argument that he's done more than once, and now he's just taking it up another notch. But to what end? You know, we've heard, you know, Ziggler, I don't watch reruns for a reason. I love you, man. And I love to watch you work. And you and Bobby Roode gave me 16 very good reasons to be at a SmackDown house show. But what's the end game?
As I said to Jason, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I said, unless this leads to Ziggler winning the Royal Rumble and going on to Mania and winning the whole thing, it's really rather pointless, because he's here saying to everybody that he can get to the top on talent alone, not with like all this BS, like the wigs and everything else. So if it doesn't lead to like him winning the top title and holding it for a while, then what's the point? Go just give him his release. Let him go to New Japan Pro Wrestling or whatever he wants to do.
If I may for a moment here, and Nikki, I want to ask you this question. This is a very serious one. All right.
Sure.
When does a gimmick, in other words, when a wrestler succeeds, how much of it is gimmick and how much of it is talent? Because it depends on the wrestler, of course, but I don't think a gimmick can just get over, no? Or am I wrong?
A gimmick at rest will remain at rest until acted upon by a proper wrestler. I also use this in gun debates, but that's another show. You can look at a handful of different gimmicks and pick a wrestler, and some of them are going to be able to pull off some of those gimmicks, but not all. It's a matter of that wrestler as an actor being able to relate what the gimmick is supposed to be and deliver and believe it. And that's why Bray Wyatt is working so well. You see the belief in his eyes when he's doing this. He is fully invested in the gimmick. He was not fully invested in Husky Harris. When, you know, Ziggler was doing the cheerleader thing, he put everything he had in it. And he screamed like a little girl.
Yeah, because he knew that this was an opportunity.
And, you know, looking at if you told me in 2006 he'd be the only one left, I would have told you you were nuts, because, you know, my money was on Johnny Jeter, who had been in wrestling forever, had been in OVW forever, and never really made it to TV. So a lot of it is the fact that, you know, a good gimmick, it's really the person. It's not the gimmick.
Now may I follow up?
Go ahead.
Can a good wrestler overcome a bad gimmick, and can a bad wrestler hurt a good gimmick?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yes.
Undertaker, gimmick should never have worked. He made it legendary. The original version of the Undertaker was not the best gimmick ever in the world, but he made it the best gimmick because he was so good in that role. And other guys, you can give them the best gimmick in the world, but they've got to feel it. They've got to have it in their heart, or else it's never going to get over, no matter how much time and money you throw at it.
I'll give the mirror to that. Mordecai.
Yes.
Mordecai and Kevin Thorne, you know, some of this might have even been writing, but Thorne and Mordecai, both characters, didn't connect. And it was something to do more with the actor than really anything that they were given, because Mordecai was given the big budget vignettes. Mordecai was given a bunch of the pre-recorded stuff, but when he went out there, something didn't translate. Sean O'Hare, God love him, God's got him. Everybody was so stoked about the Devil's Advocate gimmick.
And the vignettes, they did nothing with it.
Number one. Number two, he was, once they gave him a live mic, it started to go downhill. I wonder how many takes it took them to get him to get the Devil's Advocate ads done. Because you can make anybody look like $1 million with editing. But can you do it live?
I think another one that goes with one that would have been the worst gimmick that got over would be Dude Love.
Dude Love was a gimmick that should have never have gotten over.
But especially because, in Crazy Hardcore Attitude Era.
Exactly. But because you had someone that was really passionate about the business in Mick Foley doing the gimmick, he made it work and made everyone get behind it.
And he was also driving, and he was also getting information. He was also like drawing from his own history, from his own past.
Yeah, that was the first character that he developed for himself when he was jumping off of rooftops. It was a gimmick he always wanted to play. He got to, you know, he got the Cactus Jack gimmick. He made that work. He got the Mankind gimmick. I don't even know if they gave him any real direction, but he made that work. And then now he had the cred to say, hey, I want to do this hippie character. Can I at least try it? And off we go.
Here's a controversial one. Now, this might get me a little heat with some people, but I honestly don't care. One that should have been a good gimmick that I personally feel got killed because of the person behind the gimmick was Goldberg.
Goldberg
was supposed to be this monster that was supposed to be undefeated and everything else, but people eventually started shitting on it.
Well, some of that is more WCW's fault than Goldberg's.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, WCW was very inconsistent with the win count after a while, and people were getting onto that, and that was pissing them off.
Yeah.
Plus, you can it's good to have an invincible character, but eventually that guy's got to lose. And the way they did it was the most bullshit way they could think of. Thank you, Kevin Nash. And, you know, since, you know, we had a wrestler booking and, you know, all he was doing was being jealous.
Well, you know, thing is, Nikki, first of all, you're not telling the whole story here, Nikki.
Okay? Here we go.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't hear you stumble in. You got in here without damaging a quad.
Yeah, it's a rare thing doing the whole DDP yoga deal. It's great. Y'all try it out. But, you know, first of all, you got to know this about Goldberg, okay? Yeah, he was hot and people loved him, but, you know, he's going to have, you know, you want this dude to be the man. He's going to have to be the big guy. He's going to have to go 20, and you were lucky to get 12 at a house show, you know? And so we had to find a way, number one, to beat him and did not expose him. Number two, to where we could still bring him back and say, okay, you never really beat me, dude. Let's go throw it down. Now, was it a good idea? No, because it makes him look bad. I admit that. Fine. But what else is he going to do? Well, I'll tell you one guy you loved. It was Vince McMahon. He called me after the whole thing's over. Says, hey, man, great booking. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate that.
Well, I will tell you a guy. There's a couple of guys who have made any gimmick work. Okay, there's two that I could think of. And okay. By the way, this is a fantastic discussion. I think this is great. One is Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Okay, Chris Jericho can do anything and make it work. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Two, Kane.
Kane has embraced every, pun intended, Kane-fusing moment that they have put to his story.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he will, at the anger management meeting, this just sums up his character perfectly, of him sitting there just casually talking about all these horrific things that he's done. And, oh yeah, one time I tombstoned a priest.
And the best part of the whole thing at the end, he goes, and for reasons not adequately explained, I have an unhealthy obsession with attacking Pete Rose.
Which will never not be funny.
The bit where he and him and Daniel Bryan did the rap gimmick, and he made Kane do a beatbox as quote-unquote Curly Kane.
God.
And you could tell he wanted nothing to do with it.
But he's somebody who's like, okay, this is what you want me to do? I think the only dumpster fire he couldn't salvage was Katie Vick, and he didn't want to. You listen to his promo the week after the TLC match. Listen to him. His heart's not in it.
Neither of their hearts were in it. Neither him nor Paul wanted to do that damn storyline. That was a Vince McMahon storyline. They both acknowledge it.
And to be honest, it was salvageable, but did you really want to save this?
hell no. Paul even went on record and said that Paul even went on record and said that he felt like a complete idiot because here he is in a funeral home in a casket with a dummy wearing nothing but a G-string and a mask. And some priest walks in because there's a funeral next door, and he looks back and he's like, "Hi."
Could you kind of keep it down? We have another service going on.
Yeah, and again, now here's the interesting thing. Okay, that now let's switch it just a little bit more. Okay, because the discussion of because this is the point that what. You know, Dolph is trying to make. How many wrestlers have gotten away with one gimmick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, by one. There's very few. Bret Hart, okay? Mm-hmm. Hogan didn't even do it. He had to turn heel, okay?
Right, but it took him 20 years to do it.
Mm. What? Would you consider, Shawn Michaels even did it too? Because he did he was the rocker and then he was the sexy boy. Or was that just an evolution, so to speak?
That I'd see more as an evolution because he went from, you know, rock star wrestler to rock star solo, you know, solo rock star wrestler. You know, he was a David Lee Roth.
Okay.
And
he was more successful as a solo artist than David Lee Roth was as a solo artist. Oh, wait, was that out loud?
Shh. Anyway, but. I'll give you that, but 2000, but you know, and 2002 till he retired, Sean really made David Lee Roth look bad.
Yeah, he did, because that solo run was insane.
So, Sean's character, if there was any evolution, it was the maturity of him, as evidenced in 2006 when DX came back together, and here's responsible father and Christian trying to do suck it jokes with a straight face. And trying to keep away from other, you know, from other scantily clad women because he is a, you know, he's a church going man and he's happily married. And Hunter, cut it out.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I can still remember the summer barbecue.
Yeah, there we go.
With Triple H going, hey, isn't that Mr. Fuji? Mr. Fuji, I love Mr. Fuji.
Stop! You're reading. Stop being in my head, because that's where I was going.
Then there was the one bit where, and I'm talking about that. My favorite bit of all that of him doing all that was him doing the bit. Will you let me handle this? I speak jive.
Him in Crime Time. That was brilliant. One of the few times that Sean got to shine because Hunter, you know, Hunter was Bugs Bunny, and Sean was unfortunately Daffy Duck.
Yes, he was.
I mean, you know, chasing Coach into the ladies' locker room, Sean puts a hand over his eyes and then goes in there anyway. You know, doofus. But yeah, granted, everybody goes through a couple of gimmicks before they hit what works. Naomi, only recently, this glow gimmick. Is it an offshoot of maybe when she was on the dance team for the Orlando Magic? Maybe. But draw from what you know. And it makes your gimmick work even better. She's athletic. She's a good wrestler. And this is what she did for a living before she became a wrestler. And I love her for it. I am so glad she's finally where she should be. Natalia, technically, has not had a real change of gimmick other than that she's just gotten more and more obsessed with her uncle.
And cats.
And cats, but...
Hashtag two paws. Sorry.
No, it's okay. which actually, that's gonna bring this all the way back around. I really didn't want to bring this up before we got to the last shoot gimmick, the last shoot storyline. But there's a concern to me of how far they could go with this shooting gimmick. There's a whole bunch of diva storylines they could shoot that I think would turn off a lot of people, piss a few people off. Hey, Natty, why don't you talk about... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just give us an example.
Hey, Natty, why don't you talk about your father? Or, hey, Tamina, why don't you talk about your father?
Ooh, yeah, I don't think they'd ever go down that road.
I don't know.
No, because WWE can't risk a like possible slander lawsuit, so I think they'd stick away from Jimmy Snuka altogether.
Well, yeah, and when and if Paige comes back, they're not going to bring up Del Rio.
Oh, hell no. They're not going to bring up Del Rio, and there's no chance that they're going to do a backstage segment with Xavier Woods and Paige. They're like... Jason,
damn, no, you got me while I was drinking. Shoot, don't do that.
Do you have something you want to tell us?
And what are you drinking, and is it something you can actually share with the class?
It was seltzer, and I almost spit on the screen. Oh, damn, that was wrong.
Is it New York seltzer?
No, it is just basically just a store brand lemon lime seltzer, my favorite.
Like La Croix.
Sort of like La Croix, but yes.
Speaking of drinks, I'm going to refill my drink, guys. I'll be back just in a second. Y'all keep talking.
Right.
Fair enough. But yeah.
But you're right. What line is going to be crossed? You're absolutely right. Are they going to cross everything? Hell, they mentioned, what was it? Many years ago, they mentioned, wasn't it last year they mentioned Jerry Lawler's heart attack, didn't they?
It's been brought up a couple of times. I mean, Punk and Paul Heyman made fun of it, and Lawler was sitting right there. I mean, we had a bigger blow up over Paul Bearer's ashes.
Yes, do 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 do. CM Punk doing the Harlem Globetrotter thing.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that in a while. I'm gonna have to go look it up now. But you know. Paul Bearer's ashes, you know, Jerry Lawler's heart attack. Everything is fair game, but where there's got to be a line. There's really got to be a line. A publicly traded company needs to be really careful with what they bring up.
Oh yeah, well, I thought the line had got pretty much crossed last week when Kevin Owens said that it would have been better off if Shane McMahon had died in the helicopter crash.
Yeah, that was a little harsh.
But I'm like,
Kevin Owens is a dick.
Yeah, I know, but like you're talking about like lines being crossed. Like, here's a real life situation. Like, this wasn't for entertainment purposes.
Right.
The man almost died and nearly left his wife without a husband and his two kids without a dad.
Three.
And here's Kevin Owens saying, you would have been better off if you died, because then at least that way then your wife would be happy and your kids would be less miserable. And I was like, oh, shit.
Well, and so let me, in fact, thank you for bringing us over to that, because Kevin Owens is continually proven right. And that's what makes a good heel sometimes. Saying the right words the wrong way, but in the right order.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Kevin is already on record saying the McMahons love to hog the screen when they get their screen time. Shane O'Mac performed at the last two WrestleManias, and he had to jump off the cell. How are the people that work 300 days a year going to follow that?
Okay, but but here's a question. And I'll put it to the whole table. has Shane McMahon not the past two times that he's wrestled at WrestleMania wrestled a hell of a lot better than most of the matches that you saw on that card, on those cards?
Yes, but exactly whose fault is that?
I'm just, well, it's the wrestlers in that, in those matches, because Shane goes out there every time and puts it all on the line. And that's who Shane is.
Yeah, but you don't think any of the other guys don't do that? I also would not be surprised if Vince went up to everybody and said, "Hey, this is, you know, this is what's selling the show. You can't outshine that."
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he did that either. But it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, superstars have gone, "Oh, you know what? Fuck what they say. Let's do our thing."
Well, I mean, but again, you're right. Owens has proved right, but look what they set up with it.
Well, yeah, and just to prove his point, and he made sure he had it, he covered his ass with exact words. "If I put my hands on a McMahon, I won't get fired." On a McMahon.
Yeah, I think he played the best businessman there, because he's said to Vince McMahon, "So I want your word that if I beat a McMahon senseless, that no fallback can come to me." And as soon as Vince said, "I promise," bam, headbutt city.
Yep. And to continue to prove Kevin Owens right, Stephanie shows up.
Well, after a headbutt, a hard way, two super kicks, and a bullfrog splash.
To which Vince was probably grumbling, "I wanted to take a pop-up powerbomb, damn it."
Yeah. Oh, but now I have a question for you, as you asked me. Since Vince bled hard way on TV, does he write the fine check from himself to himself?
No, I liked your idea better. He should donate money to Connor's Cure for doing that. But first, they got to prove that it really was a hard way. Because if he bladed,
oh no, no, that was hard way. Because there was no way. I watched it.
If you ask Dave Meltzer, the Vince apparently pre-bladed beforehand and then put some new skin on top. So that way, as soon as Owens headbutted him, it would just start bleeding again.
Oh, please.
Are you kidding? Is that what he said?
That's what he said. In fact, Dave Meltzer, and this is why I don't like listening to Meltzer, because I believe the man is so full of shit and he rides Japanese dick so hard, it's like...
How does that really feel?
Holy cow! Wow, okay.
It's usually you need some aloe vera for a burn like that.
It's the truth, though. Like,
well, you're not wrong. Sure,
like, he said, and these were his exact words, he said, he said, "Vince McMahon taking that headbutt was just awful. Plain awful. It was disgusting, didn't need to happen." But then, as soon as he said that, he goes, "Look at those guys at New Japan Pro Wrestling, man. They do all those ram headbutts, and they don't bleed once." It's like, dude, do you, like, get paid every time you bring up New Japan Pro Wrestling? Like, shut the fuck up.
Seriously, if that's what he's saying, he has a concussion.
I watched that multiple times when they – okay. First of all, Vince has bladed his ass off many times over the last 20 to 30 years.
So see WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, okay. He's got the same sort of scabs that, say, Ric Flair does, that Triple H does. You know, Dusty Rhodes, may he rest in peace. So you blow on it, Ric Flair. You blow on his forehead the wrong way, it's going to bleed. Okay? Yeah.
As Robert Flores said years ago, he's the only man in the world who found a way to bleed through a mask.
That's okay. That's something.
Yeah, back when he was the Black Scorpion, he said he's bleeding through his mask. Only one guy can bleed like that, and we all know who it is.
And it's just one of those things that, and first of all, the visual was beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. The visual, everything worked for that last shooty shoot segment. The headbutt, the bullfrog splash, Owens being a total douchebag, dickish heel. Okay. And that's going to make the Hell in a Cell match even more interesting to me. But if it's done right, Owens is going to get put over, my guess. You think?
He better. And if he doesn't, then he will once again be proven right. And then we're going to have to turn him face. I don't know if I'm ready for a face Kevin Owens.
Nope.
And again, I don't... Hey, work. I didn't think Neville as a heel would work, and he's still knocking it out of the park.
Oh, excuse me. Neville laughing at Enzo was just brilliant, by the way.
I would like that as a
speaking of people that have surprised us, Nikki, there's now a gentleman that's become a scoundrel. What the
Where is this video? I know I watched 205, and I hear all this. So Gentleman Jack's evil now, and I'm like, what happened? What did you do? You cad!
You rapscallion!
There you go. Very good word. There you go. Nice. Right on.
Well, he came out, beat the holy hell out of Cedric Alexander, and then did an unholy mega alliance with the Brian Kendrick by shaking his hand.
I need to go back and watch 205 Live. How did I miss this? I'm baffled. I'm baffled and I'm sad and I'm not sure if I should watch it.
Okay.
He looked like when he came out, he looked like one of those old-fashioned British brawlers from any English movie.
Oh, okay. So he was decked out Billy Busick style.
Pretty much, yeah. He was wearing his suit, like, and vest and everything, but he had his hands taped up. I'm like, oh, okay. I think as soon as you saw that his hands were taped up, you knew, yeah, something's not right here.
Okay, give me a second here.
I'm trying to find it on the WWE.
Gabby Kelly coming to.
Whoops. Oops. Sorry.
I'm just going straight to the network, and I'm pulling up 205 Live.
And Nikki, just make sure that when you're watching it, you have your mic open, because everyone's gonna hear the sound of your heart breaking as soon as you say it. Like, no.
Okay, there are his music hits. And he's got his hands taped in black.
Always the sign of a rapscallion.
Well, because he normally tapes his hands in white.
Uh-huh. Right on. There's your first sign.
What? No, sir. Unfortunate implications. No. Kendrick's just as baffled as I am.
What was that?
I don't. That was the sound of my heart breaking.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Audio.
Yeah. Pardon me on that.
No. He's a gentleman.
No, he is now the rapscallion, Jack Gallagher.
You cad. That is.
You are gobsmacked.
I am.
One I'm might even go so far as to say befuddled.
And that wicked headbutt of his.
Yeah. But, Nikki, that was after a certain final this week.
Indeed. Give me a moment while I gather myself.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to segue you while you were, you know, still dealing with the ramifications of your gentleman no longer being one.
I think we're all mourning the loss of his umbrella.
William has always been loyal. That is not a way to cast him aside to partner with such a ruffian.
Yeah.
To partner with this Clockwork Orange leftover, Brian Kendrick.
Oh, but Jason, I will agree with you. That was a massive shock to me when I watched 205 live. I mean, the master of the no fly zone getting a fashion file ticket.
Okay, that I saw. And to be honest, if they're going to arrest anybody on 205 live, they should have been arresting Enzo.
Exactly. But I have now, here is the interesting question. And again, very serious here. The fact that they are showing main roster people with 205, is that A, act of desperation, or B, trust in the program? Because I think it's an act of desperation.
It's more A than B, because I've been to a 205 live, and the crowd is lukewarm at best because they don't know who any of these people are. Putting Neville on the show was a good start. Now they got Enzo on the show. When the hell are they going to move Kalisto over there? Because all they've been doing is killing him on Raw.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I don't want to see just flippy guys that can wrestle well but have no personality. Well, give me a reason to watch these guys.
Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and Jack Gallagher have been giving us reasons for a while now. You know, I can understand when you're talking about Cedric Alexander or Rich Swann, you know, who's got some pretty sweet moves, sure, but what else do I need to know? The only other thing I know about Rich Swann is that he's tight with Dean. And they know each other back from their CZW days. So, you know, and Cedric, great look, great moveset. He's finally back into the groove that he was in before he got hurt. But he's having the same problem that Jason Jordan's having. You know, you're an awesome wrestler, but what else is there?
Yeah, that's... But I personally feel that Jason Jordan's getting a rough go because he's getting hurt because of this stupid gimmick of being Kurt Angle's son.
I still don't think that's affecting him, but that's just me.
I disagree totally. I actually think that the matches with Cena and Roman actually have enhanced him in the past 2 weeks more than the entire Kurt Angle has.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's certainly done more, and he had a wonderful showing at the house shows against Miz in an Intercontinental title defense. He also did double duty because he had to fight in a battle royal to get that spot.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's the same stuff that they're doing over here in Australia at the moment.
And I'm sorry that you're not there, man.
Oh, it's all right. Like I said, I don't have a problem with being in faraway seats. It's just I want that experience of a meet and greet, so I'm going to fucking save up. Next year, 2018, it's my year.
And to somebody I was speaking to on Facebook, if you've got a grand saved up, don't go buy a fucking phone. Throw that in your WrestleMania fund.
Are you talking the iPhone X? Yeah.
He seriously asked this question. I said, what are you, dude? You should already know the answer to this. If you still send you my PayPal information, and I'll be happy to handle that money for you. I haven't heard from him yet.
I wonder why.
Shush. It's not going into a checking account. Or maybe it should.
You're going to put the money into, you're going to hide it under your mattress.
No, hang on, because we all know if it went into a Heyman checking account, this would turn into a bad South Park episode, and it's gone.
No.
You're being too simple. If I put it in a checking account, that just takes care of all my overdraft fees from the last 6 months.
Ah, there we go.
Now then, enough about my finances and how people should spend their money. Hopefully, they'll be able to spend money willingly and happily enjoying actual women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler tore it up. And for people that are worried about Baszler losing against a smaller and maybe less experienced wrestler, she's going to be fine. Shayna Baszler is going to be the fucking Pete Dunne of the women's division.
No shit. Now, the only thing, and I agree with all the number threes on there.
Okay.
Why did they not have the first female referee in there?
In the final?
Yeah. Okay.
That's odd. I mean, she's decent. She's a decent ref, so I don't understand why they couldn't have her for the final. Couldn't he at least have Drake?
They brought back Lillian Garcia, which was great.
That was amazing, and they knew she was coming because they told her that you weren't in the building.
Aha, very funny.
It's true.
You notice, by the way, Rousey got a little bit of a pop. You think?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Well, yeah.
Shh. She signed. They can't say it yet.
Dude, yeah, she signed. We know she signed. Now, who's she going to
pick? I said this last week. I said, look, if Shayna Baszler has gotten as far as she has, I can guarantee you Ronda Rousey's a package deal. And we've all heard the rumblings that this is going to lead to a big Survivor Series match between the Four Horsewomen and the Four Horsewomen.
And you know what? That's going to sell tickets. It's the wrestling's going to be horrendous, but it's going to sell tickets.
Yeah, exactly. And
okay. Well, sorry, you go, Jason.
No, I'm just going to say that. But I'm telling you, and of course they also made it because didn't they have The Rock's mom there? I forget her name.
And Mania?
They had. Let's see who they had there at the Mae Young Classic because there was a lot of very. Yeah,
A bunch of the current women wrestlers were there. A lot of the former women wrestlers were there. Female celebrities, of course.
Yeah, they had Asuka, Dana Warrior, Medusa, Beth Phoenix, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Summer Rae, Mercedes Martinez, Piper Niven, Toni Storm, Ronda Rousey, Jessamyn Duke, Chelsea Ray, Nikki Bella, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Erica Weeb, Candice LeRae, and Glow, and the Glow cast members, who, by the way, they're shooting season 2. Yahoo!
Woot!
Including some woman named Kia Stevens.
Shh. Don't notice. Don't look at her.
Yeah, I know. She wasn't there. And it was, it was. Let me just tell you something. Did you overall? I loved the Mae Young Classic. It was great. It was awesome. Just as good as the Cruiserweight Classic was.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I was gonna say, it was awesome, but to continue on with the thing that Nikki said, because like she said, Kairi Sane was a bit inexperienced. Now, we know that Kairi Sane, after winning this, has got the opportunity to fight for the NXT Women's Championship at the next takeover against an opponent that has yet to be determined. Now, question is, does she deserve this spot?
Kayfabe, yes. IRL, I don't know. She's won an inaugural tournament where she, you know, that was single elimination. She faced some of the best wrestlers in the world. So from there, you go to some of the top talent that NXT has. That's a logical progression. But I don't know if by overall experience, she should be given such an opportunity.
Yeah, I would have said if she won that, if she won the tournament, that she would get a match on TakeOver. Like, she'd get a pay-per-view match, but not a championship match. God damn.
I just wonder if it's a scramble, if there's something going on with the writing of TakeOver now that Asuka's on the shelf, and they've decided that once she's healthy, she's just going to go straight to Raw.
That's what they announced. She's going to Raw. That's the wrong place for her, by the way.
Well, unfortunately, they still think Raw is their money show. And so with the women's title vacated, do they find a way to put the title on somebody? Or do they just keep the belt held up until TakeOver? I guess is the next question.
I'm thinking they're going to keep the title vacated until TakeOver. And I honestly think that the match is going to be Kairi Sane versus Ember Moon.
And I'm 100% okay with this because I'm guessing the end game was that Ember Moon was supposed to beat Asuka and then Asuka was supposed to move up.
Yeah, possibly. We'll never know, but...
So, but yeah, congratulations to Kairi Sane. I love her costumes. I love her, you know, I love the background that came up. You know, JR discussed it a bit during the final. She's got all that down. Now we just need to get her fine-tuned in the ring. And then I want them to call Paul Burchill and say, "Okay, we're going to give your pirate gimmick another shot."
Yep.
And, you know, going back to our previous discussion, he was making that work. People dug it. Everybody except WWE. I know I dug it. And I told him I dug it.
Oh, no, the pirate gimmick was good. But the one that was probably the worst gimmick was his a little angle with Katie Lee. I'm like, oh god.
I knew that was going to kill him. That was going to kill any you know, anything he had within the Fed, because that just wasn't going to work. Because they wanted to go a whole lot further, and somebody got cold feet. It went in a weird direction, and then it was dropped entirely.
Well, yeah, and they couldn't do it now. This is 2017. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, they're not. There's kids out there. There's children in the audience. So, you know, Mr. Burchill, if you're still wrestling, I miss you, man. You know, stay by your phone. I really think that you and Kairi would be a cool couple. Especially if they let you go back to your pirate gimmick, because that'll get Johnny Depp on the show. And I think, you know, that's a ratings boost right there. Hi.
You're not going to let those people say that about you, are you? That was my very bad Johnny Depp impression.
No, that actually wasn't that bad.
That wasn't horrible for off the cuff. And, you know, we can end it with Johnny Depp running out of the building being chased by the entire locker room.
Yes,
I'll say one thing. And Johnny, if you're watching, dude, I've made a few movies. You want to put me in the next one? I wouldn't say no to that, man.
That's true. They can CG your quads.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that, girl.
Hi.
What's up?
Just a question. Just a couple of sort of other in very quickly in ring stuff. What did you think of Braun Smash this week?
Hell yes.
Braun Smash, he was very effective.
Braun uses Smash. It's always effective. Even if it was John Cena.
Well, did you also notice that also kayfabe got Big Show to his hip surgery?
So is the hip surgery legit, or is that just down the road?
No, it's legit. Even WWE confirmed it.
Oh, wow. I just thought it was, oh, wow. Oh, man. I am so sorry, big man. I am so sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, it's been rumored for ages because, as we all know, like Mick Foley got his knee replacement surgery done,
right? And he had both hips done.
There were heaps of rumors going around that him and Big Show were getting surgeries done at the same time, and sure enough, looks like it's true.
Okay, I was just going off of Big Show's statement a little while ago that he was going to try to make it up to, you know, next year's WrestleMania, and then he was done. But if he's going in for hip surgery, I think that's it. This is it.
Possibly. We'll wait and see. I think he'll come back for one last match. I don't know, because that's not exactly a match that you want to go out on. No offense to Braun. But being put through a steel cage. Yeah.
No, that's a hell of a way to go. That's a good way to go. You go out on your back.
He didn't even go out on his back though. He went out on the fence.
He went out on his ass. My ass isn't that big anymore. Stop that. I lost weight for this.
You can tell how much weight he's lost, though, because if a guy like Braun Strowman can pick up Big Show like a sack of potatoes and just chuck him, it's like, yep, okay.
Well, they even said Big Show is actually under 400 pounds, and he hasn't been under 400 pounds since he started, and even then, I'd have to go check.
I think, didn't Big Show say he hasn't been under 400 pounds since college?
That wouldn't surprise me. He wasn't exactly svelte when he started. So, you know, more power to you, man. I'm sorry that I took that news as kayfabe. I feel bad now. Or maybe it's just residuals. Mr. Gallagher, really? Honestly?
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you, sir? You besmirch yourself with your actions.
You are really upset at this.
I'm... First of all, I feel like an idiot that I just completely blanked on it. And second of all, I'm not sure, you know, we have one evil Brit on the show already. King of the Dwarves. I mean, the King of the Cruiserweights.
No, it's the King of the... Was it? You are the King of the Morons. Yeah. No, it's King of Hammers. I know what I said.
No, I don't think it was the fact that you blacked out on it, Nikki. I think it was the fact that your brain couldn't process it, so you automatically denied it. You're like, I did not see this.
Yeah.
Oh.
This did not happen.
That next thing you know, Kevin Owens will be turned face.
Uh oh.
It was like majority of us when we saw Carmella kiss James Ellsworth. We're like, what the hell did we just see? Brain bleach.
No, that didn't make any sense to me either, so don't feel bad.
Oh, no. What didn't make sense is that, and pardon me, here's a little brain bleach moment, okay?
Sure.
Carmella dragging Ellsworth by a BSDM leash this week. They went to a Las Vegas sex shop and picked up the weirdest freaking thing, and, you know... Good Lord, man.
He's an endangered species. She's got to keep track of him.
And besides, it's not like she can put cash in anything that small.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Wow.
Okay, that's an image in my brain that I'm not sure how to react to.
Guys, for the last time, it's an electric razor.
Of course, Rollins. We know.
Was that? Or as I said one time on Celebrity Deathmatch, they called it a back massager.
Sure.
And then the joke was they kept pulling out more and more of these, and one of the guys, Nick Diamond, was able to name them all, saying, "It's the one of the back massager." He says, "Nick, how do you know these things?" He goes, "I have a very, very sore spine."
Yeah. But I mean, first of all, it's Las Vegas, and they got away with something pretty much there.
Yeah, they did. Oh boy, they did.
I mean, isn't it bad enough that they busted out fuzzy handcuffs on 205? Come on. Dango had fuzzy handcuffs for Gulak.
But what was Gulak's safe word?
Oh, jeez! Wow! No fly zone!
Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was.
Oh, you sick bastard, Brian!
Wow!
Wait. Gulak was in CZW. I know what a safe word was. Jesus!
Excuse me a second.
Am I making you horny?
Oh, good
Cut
Lord.
That out. I like breathing.
Good Lord. Oh, my God. First of all, Brian, the fact that you know what a safe word is, you have to you got to go to have some extra prayers in church on Sunday. Just saying. Okay?
Well, on that note, who's a cheeky monkey?
You are!
No, you are!
Who's the daddy?
Brian, you're going to hell.
I'm going to go to hell when I die.
Can't see me. I'm going to hell when I die.
Oh, this show has just gone totally off the rails. Oh, my God.
That's another job well done for me.
There you go.
No, true. You have once again succeeded on sending this show in a bizarre direction.
Wow.
And it's fucking cold. Anyway,
NAWC, ladies and gentlemen, the only place where we can talk about fluffy handcuffs and no fly zones.
That has a double entendre with that right now. The no fly zone.
Well
now.
We need to get back over here.
Yeah, I think we need to. Yeah, you need to get over here and get out of here because real life, sadly.
Yeah, well, no, we got a lot done tonight, and this was the stuff I wanted to. This is the stuff we needed to focus on, you know, shooting story, good, bad, or ugly. Baron Corbin pretty much shooting himself in the foot, or maybe in the head. Take that any way you wish. And the fact that yes, the Mae Young Classic is historical and will have ramifications with the women's division, you know, long term. That's great.
Oh, yes, and let us not also forget to congratulate the New Day yet again for kicking ass one more time. That's the feud of the year, by the way. Usos New Day. Good Lord, they were great.
We are congratulating who?
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 Who? Who? Who? Who? Who? Who?
Okay, so I guess I'm the only one at the table that thought that was a bad decision to switch the titles over to them.
I don't mind. I really don't mind, and they don't seem to be putting much emphasis on it. So I don't, you know, we'll see. I'm okay with them hot potatoing the belts because it's an entertaining feud. They're having way too much fun, and I think it's because these guys are, you know, hanging out, filming up down, and if the fan base was thinking about that, you know, you want me to get shooty again? They're breaking kayfabe by doing up down.
Oh, by the way, who won the rematch? Do we know?
I don't. Where's VRM when I need him?
Yeah, I'll have to check. I'll check.
Are we talking about the Seth Rollins AJ Styles rematch?
Yes.
But we do know who won the rematch. But speaking of up down, we all apparently found out that apparently Randy Orton beat AJ Styles in Mario Kart, and AJ Styles was pitching a duck fit about it.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. But Randy Orton even posted a funny little tweet on it with a gif of Luigi going past Wario, giving him a dirty look. I'm like, nice. Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles 2, the rematch. Hang on 1 second, and I'll do some live research and tell you the winner. Yeah. Hang on.
I'm checking myself, actually.
And there was, because there was just a goofy gif out there of Rollins is going, I don't know if that translates well on the microphone with my headset flying all over the place. But
I believe the champ won 31-21 rematch. The champ is undefeated. On and he did it on an Xbox this time. So, yeah, so he is still undefeated in Madden 18. And in Madden anything, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? That is stuff we'll be covering in a couple of minutes, right, Brian? Actually, when we do
it will. When we do the Pixel Nation thing in a few short moments.
Yep, 31-21. Seth friggin' Rollins.
And Brian, do go on because we are to that point in the show.
Oh, it's time are we about to sell some soap?
Yeah, sell some soap.
All right. First and foremost, want to plug all the stuff I like to plug, which is first, Wrestling with Regret by Brian Zane, video of the week where he talks about wrestlers in music videos. Check that out at YouTube and wherever fine podcasts are sold. Also, The Oddity Archive by Ben Manott, theoddityarchive.com, pop culture ephemera at its finest, new episode this week that I have not had a chance to watch. Check it out, too. Musical Hell by Christy Easterly. Lazy Game Reviews, all kinds of great stuff. And just keep it tuned to all the great podcasts here at Spectrum One. Like what, Jason?
Yeah, like this. First of all, of course, Pixel Nation, which will be recorded soon after. We're going to be talking a very interesting free speech issue, which is not what it seems regarding PewDiePie, which we'll get to. BS Big Show was supposed to be recorded after this, but unfortunately Carl got in the way. I am now the official JRWFFL recapper. I recorded we'll find out week one action and go into week two. We are playing a football game as we speak. The Texans are playing the Bengals. I don't really care, but hey, we'll see how that goes. By the way, congratulations to J.J. Watt for raising over almost $33 million for Hurricane Harvey relief down in Texas on nice. His own. Great stuff, for real. Let's see. As I the panel with Gordon Pepper, as I said, the WLTI, we talked about the finals or what the finals were going to be on the America's Got Talent, about Big Brother. We talked about the return of a lot of game shows, and two more big game shows are returning next week for season premieres, including Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right. And, of course, we had our first ever, believe it or not, giveaway to a trip to Cuba this week on Wheel of Fortune. We talked about that. And you can listen to all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, Playit.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and everywhere. And by the way, right now, if you are saving money like I am to go to Ticona 8, which I know you are, Brian, the registration is $139, I believe, through the end of next month. And Ticona 8 will be the first week of October, and I believe you could still make donations now to the...
You mean the first week of August?
First week of August, my apologies, yes. The first week of August, and again, it is Home Game Enterprises with a Z.com/throwdown, and somebody just, it's now $7,050 we broke through. Donations are done by the end of the year, but again, Q&A trivia.com/Ticona if you want to go for next year. I cannot wait. So there's that.
Shane, did you have anything to promote? I usually ask. I know you usually don't.
Yes, no, because I normally steal your thing of WWE Supercards. Go play it today. And but actually, do Jason, I do have a question for you for Pixel Nation. Will you be discussing 2K18 in the recent My Career Mode info that's been released?
No, why don't you actually tell me about this? Because, Brian, you don't have that, do you?
No, I don't. What's going on?
Some people that were very lucky and got details on My Career Mode early were the fact that My Career Mode is going in a sort of old school 2011, 2012 angle, which you get the backstage free roaming. Nice. With 2K18, you get two choices. You can either play the corporate stooge, in which you'll get the chance to accept help general managers pretty much keep their position and attack superstars backstage or during matches, etc. And that wins you a nice little prize at the end of it. Or you can be the fan favorite and pretty much work your ass off for the fans, in which if you're successful at the end of it, you get to make your very own custom WWE championship.
Interesting. Well, I was about to say. I was about to say, and in both cases, you could play John Cena. But I'm bunch. No, we're going to cover. That's something we're going to add to the run sheet, actually, just now. But yes, thank you very much for that, Shane. Appreciate that. And Brian, you have it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I actually have that in the category. So we will definitely cover that. So yes, we'll start off with that, actually.
There you go.
All right.
And what about you, Brian, Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, and what about you, Ms. Heyman? We know you've always got something to talk about.
Well, you already stole my thunder on supercards, and frankly, you know, Big Show, get well soon, but I'm not going to work too hard to grab your custom card. Sorry, man. Hey!
All right.
Down in front.
Okay.
AWF will be performing again September the 30th, and I hope to be involved in the proceedings. It'll be in Cambridge, Minnesota. Details will be coming up as we've got plenty of time to... for me to get more information. If you are a fan of independent wrestling, do take a look around at what goes on in the scenes up here. Not only do we have American Wrestling Federation, we have Steel Domain Wrestling, which is still active. I thought it actually shut their doors. IWI, First Avenue Wrestling, and many others in the Minnesota area. And if you need more information about Minnesota leagues, look up Eric, A-R-I-K, Cannon on Facebook and just go down his feed, because he works a lot in this area and it was good to see him. And I was hoping that he would be attending a show in Des Moines next month, but I might be there on one side of the guardrail or the other. Shh. I'll let you know. But for now, I'm right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Brian Henniger, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. Thank you for coming. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you didn't like what you heard, please do not go to angrymarks.com and read my column, because it's pretty much the same thing. On second thought, read it anyway. Good night.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.